across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites, only cheesier.
And Liquorland, always great value.
Yes, welcome to AFL Nation's Round 6 Sunshine State Super Sunday of football. It's about to draw to a close. The final game of the weekend, Carlton taking on the Western Bulldogs here at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast. It has been a big weekend for Queensland footy fans, whether they barrack for the Lions or the Suns or somewhere in between. Great to have your company wherever you're listening right around Australia. This is an intriguing clash that awaits us. Look forward to digging into it with our expert comments and also get some of your thoughts as well. We'll be catching up with a special guest shortly from the Carlton Football Club, one of their assistant coaches, just to find out how the Blues plan to stop this juggernaut that at the moment is the Western Bulldogs. Three consecutive wins. They've got the handball game back up and running, the one that took them to the promised land in 2016. So lots to dig through. My name is Benny Jones. Great to have your company. And it's for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery, available via the Uber Eats app and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes as we welcome the call team into the coverage. I'll start with my left-hand man here, Jordan Kanellis. Great to see you, mate. How are you?
I'm good, Benny. I'm very good. Hopefully the game that we're about to see in just over an hour from now is a little better than the two games we've seen today. I think it could be. Carlton and the Western Bulldogs have definitely had a lot of positives to take away so far from the season. Hopefully the weather isn't affecting them up on the Gold Coast like it is up in Brisbane with Richmond and Sydney at the moment.
Well, a few hours ago at this very venue, I'm not sure Port Adelaide and the Giants reached too many great heights either. Great win for Port Adelaide. We'll talk about that a little bit later on as part of our pre-game coverage. But we also welcome in, thanks to Red Energy, providing those expert comments that I alluded to a couple of moments ago. The three-time premiership star with Hawthorn, former coach of the Western Bulldogs, and of course the Richmond Footy Club. Terry Wallace, great to see you. Plough.
Hello, Benny. Hello, Jordan.
Super Sunday was maybe a polite way of describing it, but who knows? We might be in for a treat for the next couple of hours.
Yeah, well, I did the Carlton Bulldogs both games live last year, and they were both arm wrestle games. So I'm hoping it's like that again, and maybe a little higher scoring than the Tigers Sydney Swans game. But yeah. Really hoping that we can get a decent contest between the two, and we'll go into this more in more detail. But Bontempelli versus Cripps, they actually played on each other toe to toe both times last year, and it was 1-1. So I'll be fascinated to see whether that comes up again.
Well, after a day of largely dour footy, Jordan, would it be too much to ask that the coaches, that David Teague and Luke Beveridge, will grant us our wish and let those two absolute superstars of the comp, even if they stand at arm's length from each other, just go at it for the next 2 hours? It'd be nice.
Oh, please, please. We'd love it. We would love that as football fans. And the Western Bulldogs, for me, they play positive football. They're not an overly defensive team. They do the defensive thing, but they love to open the ground up a bit more. And we know them. Their identity to us over the last couple of years has been a fast team. They springboard off halfback very quickly. And Carlton is starting to pick up bits and pieces of that as well. They're still working out their identity, but they've got the big forwards that we've been seeing this year. But I think hopefully this game should be a bit more open with the Western Bulldogs' running ability.
Although, I mean, and I do agree with you with the fact that the Bulldogs take the game on, but the highest score that's been kicked against them in the last 3 weeks is 39 points. So they have been really stingy, but they do it, as you're sort of saying, in the right way. They fold back, get all their numbers back to make it really difficult for you to score, but then take the game on from that halfback position.
All right, well, we're going to look at some of those key matchups for Kotara a little bit later as part of our pregame. Just quickly around the grounds, it's tightening up at the Gabba, by the way. Sydney have just kicked a goal through Tom Patley. Nick Blakey had a gilt-edged chance to get the margin back to 2 points. It's currently at 7 with still 4 minutes of play left. We'll keep you updated on that final score once it comes to hand. But let's head to the phones and let's catch up with one of the assistant coaches at the Carlton Football Club in Cam Bruce, who's been so kind to give us a little bit of his time prior to this game against the Western Bulldogs. Cam, welcome to AFL Nation. Great to have you on board, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
Huge test. We've spoken about it just ever so briefly as we kick off our pre-game, that it is a seemingly from the outside a game of contrasting styles. We know that Carlton like to move the ball along by foot. Western Bulldogs, I think, are number two in the competition for handballs. They like to certainly run and carry. But it's going to be a fascinating battle, and we have already asked Cripps v Bontempelli. Is there any chance we could get that a little later this arvo?
Yeah, there's a fair chance they'll be alongside each other for a fair bit of the game. But you know, as you've identified, there's the Bulldogs play a pretty explosive style of footy. Their ability to transition the ball from one end of the ground to the other is really the best in the comp. So our defensive action has got to be really strong, got to be right up on them, and hopefully we can pressure them enough and lock the ball inside our forward half to give our dangerous forward line a good look.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Cam, because dangerous forward line is the perfect way to describe it. You guys are certainly high up there as far as competition-wide rankings with marks inside 50. You've got some great targets to kick to. There has been some discussion through the week about Mitch McGovern. He didn't have a great game last week, but not many of the Carlton forwards did. And maybe the possibility that he could be used as a swingman down back. That said, I think your back six is pretty settled at the moment.
Yeah, look, we've got a really settled back line, and while they're testing the siren, take three. There's our forward line prior to last week. Obviously, you know, the limited number of opportunities, 33 entries suggest our ball movement wasn't great. So, regardless of how much you're firing as a forward, yeah, we're going to be pretty starved for opportunity. But look, Mitch is he's doing a lot of things that probably don't get recognised amongst externally. But he supplies us with some great space in the forward line. His running patterns are really good. Yes, we'd like him to probably do a little bit more. But having said that, there are some valuable things that he's bringing to our mix. You know, it was only the week before, 2 weeks prior, where people were saying it was the best functioning forward line they've seen at Carlton for a while. So, you know, as they say, a week's a long time in footy.
Yep.
Hopefully tonight they get it right, and we get a really good supply, and we'll hit the scoreboard.
Cam, Terry Wallace here. Good luck for tonight. Clearly, it was nowhere near your best game last Thursday night. But how have you generally assessed the season? Because, you know, I've heard a lot of people, and they've been a little bit critical of the club. I would have thought in most of the other games you've been pretty reasonable.
Yeah, look, since the break, the enforced break, we were really disappointed not to have beaten Melbourne. We had a really good, you know, nearly best performance for a long time result against Geelong. And then beat Essendon, who have shown that they're a pretty good side. Had that disappointing result against St Kilda. So, look, we are definitely confident that we're building. If we can put four quarters of footy together, I think if you look at the stats in terms of quarters won, we'd be right up there. We are just letting one quarter get away from us and conceding too big a score in that one period, which we're going to continue to try and address. And we're excited about the opportunities and what we'll achieve when we do that.
Is it fair to say that when you've got off to a reasonably good start, that your games have been better, and when you haven't got off to a good start, you really haven't been able to sort of flip the switch and turn it back around the other way? And the second part of that is, nearly every side that's had a poor week, 1 week, we've seen them respond and come back and hit back pretty hard. I suppose you'd be wanting to get that hot start tonight.
Yeah, look, obviously with a shorter game, you can't afford to let the game get too far away from you. And we've done that at periods where even the Richmond game in round one, I think we're out to a 40-point deficit, certainly against Melbourne. We did that last week. We didn't start well. So we're getting ourselves back into a position to win the game, but we're just doing too much work to get to that position. So we didn't start well. We did that against Geelong. Started around level against Essendon, and we had two wins there. So, yeah, certainly really important to start the game well. That all starts with the confidence work and pressure and the simple things in footy that will give us a really good look.
Hey, Cam, a bit more broadly on that point, do you think just on starting well, are comebacks this year in 2020, are we going to see many of them? We haven't really seen too many teams come from behind, bar Fremantle yesterday, but that was after the first quarter. But second half comebacks just seems like none of them are happening this season. Do you think 2020, the conditions and the circumstances just don't favour a second half comeback?
Well, you know, I mean, given the length of game, it certainly players are conditioned well enough to be able to run out a good amount of 100 minutes of footy compared to the 120 or whatever it used to be.
certainly conditioned to be able to run it out much better. So that suggests that, yeah, it's going to be harder to run over the top of the side. But, yeah, I mean, it's always, I think, the stat over the year. The team that kicks the first four goals wins a really high percentage of the game. I think it's sort of 75% of the games if you get to four goals first. So you want to be starting well, that's for sure.
What positives have you taken out? Terry mentioned a few before, but maybe narrowing in a bit more individually on some players and just the way that you've been able to work your footy this year. Have you felt like the Carlton team has advanced this season into how you're playing your footy and some of the finer details that you're able to put into your players? Has that come a long way, do you feel, already this season?
Yeah, look... I think Brisbane are a great example of the value in playing together for a long period. I think they've had nearly two and a half years of injury-free footy where the same group has been together for a long period, playing together. We've obviously starting to get that. We're getting guys putting a number of games together. As you've highlighted, the back six are playing a hell of a lot of footy together. The forward line is starting to play a lot of games together. We've had the inclusion of Eddie Betts and Jack Martin which has brought in unbelievable class. Sam Doherty to that backline mix brings unbelievable leadership and composure down there and run. So getting those guys back and playing alongside their teammates consistently just builds cohesion and understanding and predictability, which we know the best sides in the competition have. And we're seeing much better results and consistency. Look, we're not being blown away in games because we're starting to get that, and hopefully that results in ultimately us winning a hell of a lot more games.
Hey, Cam, just before we let you go, a quick word on Lachie Plowman. Now, obviously, we know he came across as part of it was a quartet of players back in 2015 from the Giants, and he's essentially the last man standing of those four still at the club. He's developed himself into a really reliable, hard-nosed key defender for your football club, and obviously game 100 tonight, I'm sure the boys will be just that little extra motivated to mark the occasion.
Yeah, look, he's one of the boys' favourites, so they're really excited to put in a good performance for Lachie. He, you know, we talk about getting our job done and our players doing that, and he epitomises that. He doesn't do it with great fanfare, but he's just an honest, hard-working player that we still feel has got a lot of great footy to go. We're definitely comfortable giving him the big roles. You know, when a Dangerfield goes and rests forward, we give a Dangerfield to Plowman. If it's a Fife, if Bond goes down there, you never know who'll be matching up on him. All that sort of stuff. It's something that we have great confidence in. And we're really keen to put in a good performance for a guy that's played 100 games or playing his 100th game of good solid footy for us.
Absolutely. Look, it's a huge test tonight. Western Bulldogs, one of the form sides of the competition, but as we've seen throughout 2020 to date, Carlton at their very best, very much capable. Good luck, Cam. Thanks for joining us on AFL Nation, and all the best to the boys tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cameron Bruce there joining us, Carlton Football Club assistant coach ahead of the big contest at Metricon Stadium up against the Western Bulldogs, currently sitting eighth on the table with a 3-2 record. Carlton started the weekend 12th, have slipped to 14th, but have a chance to edge a little closer to that top eight, currently sitting 2-3. And just on Lachie Plowman, as I said, it was sort of a bit of a no-frills defender, not really looked upon. I think of the four that came across, he's, as I said, the last one standing. I had the list written down here. Jed Lamb, well, he's been delisted, played 44 games for the club. Andrew Phillips, now at the Bombers, he played 21 times. And Liam Sumner, delisted after a couple of seasons, played 20-odd games. So the fact that he's still there, but is playing some really consistent footy.
Yeah, well, the one thing that they do with him is the mid-range size forward.
Yep.
The best mid-range size forward he will get. So if they're playing against GWS, he will get Toby Green. If they're playing against Essendon, he will get Stringer.
Yeah.
You know, that type of player. So he gets some really, really tough roles along the way.
All right. For Chemist Warehouse, big brands and great savings every day. Richmond have held on at the Gabba. We'll give you the full-time score and the wash-up from that. A big blow for the Swans with Josh Kennedy out very early on in that contest with a knee injury. And we'll head around the grounds and look at the rest of the day's action as well. Shortly, pre-game show for Beaumont Tolls. Choose Beaumont's proudly Australian. Carlton and the Western Bulldogs to wrap up round 6. We'll have more of our pre-game right after this.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites only cheesier. And Liquorland, always great value.
Here at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast. Second match here at this venue on a Sunday. Round 6 action for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with Mick Delivery. It's available via the Uber Eats app and Liquorland Click and Collect in just 30 minutes. Benny Jones, Jordan Kanellis, Terry Wallace, your call team for this clash between Carlton and the Western Bulldogs. And a shout out to our friends, our great friends at Tyre Power. Go and see Russell at Tyre Power. Diamond Creek. Right now, you can save on Falcon Wild Peak four-wheel drive tyres. Just before we went to the break, I did mention that full-time at the Gabba and a hard-fought win. It wasn't pretty at any stretch, Terry Wallace, but important win for Richmond. We know they've had their issues with injury and unavailability. They've moved into the hub, but they started with a win, a gritty eight-point win over the Sydney Swans, who just cannot take a trick at the moment, the poor old Swannies.
Yeah, well, they lost a lear before the game started. They got all their taller players out there before Richmond people sort of start going, well, hang on, what about us?
So
they're doing it very difficult, just trying to structure up a forward line and first use out of the ruck. Richmond were very good, jumped them early when the conditions were a little drier, and then it got pretty wet up there and pretty sloppy. It very much looked like the Swannies sort of parked the bus to stay in the contest, and it made it very, very difficult for the tall forwards, Lynch, obviously, with that broken hand, and Riewoldt to have major impact in the game. So, it was just really an arm wrestle and a slog for most of the game.
Yeah, then the Swans lost, I think, Josh Kennedy inside the first 7 minutes. Injury on in the piece, and then late on in the game, Isaac Heaney just informed it looked as though he might have picked up an ankle knock or landed awkwardly on an ankle. So, they'll be, fingers crossed, hoping that he's okay.
And the Swannies had a couple of late chances.
Yeah, they did,
Maybe pinch it, but quite
goal and couldn't find a major throughout. So it's a case of luck going their way as far as fitness is concerned, and some change of fortune when it comes to injuries to those talls, because at the moment they are just really battling on that front. Earlier today, as we continue our look around the grounds for the Chemist Warehouse, big brands and great savings every day. Speaking of injuries, Jordan, we'll just have to keep an eye on Terry. I'm a bit concerned about an older injury, but it's just flaring up a little, Terry. Is it left knee, right knee, or both knees?
Right knee. I was sad the fourth cartilage is taken out when I was 19.
Oh, so 19?
Yeah, so bone on bone since then. So 8 operations later, it just seizes up every now and then. So just standing up while we're having our discussion here.
Would that be considered regular medical practice these days?
These days, but no. It was very much the way that they went about it. See, back in those days, nowadays with the keyhole surgery, they can just slice them take a little piece and hopefully have a little bit of regrowth there, where back then they just ripped the whole thing out.
Are they aware of the long-term effects that would bring about back then?
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But there were no medical alternative. So you either did that as an operation procedure and kept playing, and even that took a lot longer than what it takes in this day and age. But it was the only way, because maybe a generation or two back further than that, if you had a cartilage operation, it finished your career.
John Coleman's the greatest example of that, or the most disappointing example of that from what could have been point of view.
But there were so many players, in the 60s that just had their careers finished just through a straight cartilage.
Peter Hudson had something similar, but he came back from his, didn't he?
He came back in 1977.
But it was a long layoff before he came back, So modern medicine has advanced us a long, long way. I'm glad to hear it, but obviously, is it just when it gets a bit cold, Terry, or it just flares up from time to time?
It has its moments.
It does, fair enough. Hey, just quickly, before we talk about the Giants and the Power, who met earlier today here at Metricon Stadium, those in Melbourne are back in lockdown, and we obviously send our regards out to those that are doing it pretty tough at the moment. But Stockdale and Lego, very much open for business. If you see a property that you like, arrange a private inspection. If you're thinking of selling, they can undertake a virtual appraisal to put a value on your home so that you can get things moving when we're out of this lockdown. Shout out to Mark from the Glenroy office and Tim from the Craigieburn office as well, who locked down a week earlier than the rest. Great work, guys, and great to have you on board, Stockdale and Lego. What did you make of the game earlier today, Terry? I know you would have been watching on closely. Port Adelaide defeat GWS by 17 points, so the Power bounced back well. GWS, who had been playing some good footy of late, it's just a really frustrating side at times to watch. They've got the calibre, whether it's the game plan that suits.
Well, 3-3 now, aren't they? So, look, what would I say about the game? First up, I'd say that Port Adelaide justly deserved to win.
Yep.
They won three of the four quarters, and so if you do that, you should most of the time get a result. GWS took it up to them in the third quarter, but certainly when the whips got cracking in the last quarter, it was all Port Adelaide's way. And I have a little bit of an issue with GWS and their game structure and game style. So if we go back to last week where they beat the Hawks quite convincingly, they only had 26 inside 50s in that particular game. The game today, it was really all of the play was forward of the centre, Port's way for most of the match. And if you're going to play that sort of structure where you're relying more on personnel, you know, the brilliance of personnel of, you know, of a Jeremy Cameron stepping up,
or Toby Green
stepping up, Lachie Whitfield stepping up, Josh Kelly, those guys, but you're going to play more of a back half game. It's a dangerous way to be playing your football, and I've thought that for quite some time with GWS that they're inclined to be that way. They play on personnel more than structure, and in the way the footy's played nowadays, structure is the king. It doesn't matter. You can have the most brilliant personnel of all time, but that's why you find yourself 3-3.
Would you consider Hawthorn a structured team, though? They beat them last week.
Yeah, with 26 inside 50s.
Yeah.
You'll find that won't happen very often, and Hawthorn is now starting to really battle, aren't they?
They are.
We've sort of seen some pretty ordinary results from them in recent times.
Yeah, eight of the top 10 disposal winners. I know disposal isn't always king, but eight of the top 10 today were Giants players. So getting hands on the football, as you said, Terry, is not their issue. It's just what they're doing with it when they move it forward.
Well, they get their hands on the ball, but they still don't spend time in their forward half.
No,
so they were still soundly beaten in that area. I think over the course of the game, Port Adelaide had something like about 14 or 15 more inside 50s.
Yeah.
Even though those numbers suggest that they're getting it, certainly not always the case.
I'm spewing. I missed the tip. I had Port Adelaide all week, and then 20 minutes before the game, I went and tipped the Giants. And I had a feeling in the back of my mind it would have been Port, but I thought, the Giants have better matchups around the ground. But Port Adelaide, they're definitely in the top two seeds, if you like, this season now with Brisbane.
Yeah. The other thing that I liked about them is when the game was needed to be won, it was some of their younger kids. So, of the last few goals that were kicked in the game, Farrell.
That was a great goal.
Marshall, Butters, they were the ones that kicked the goal. So they're getting some good zest and spark from those players.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful user of the ball, Farrell, isn't he?
Yeah. His left foot bomb from 55, a little wraparound, that was absolutely exquisite. And yeah, it was a funny sort of afternoon for the Port forwards, because Charlie Dixon and Justin Westhoff just kept getting in each other's way.
Yeah.
They were getting plenty of looks, but ended up spoiling each other on about five or six occasions.
Yeah.
So,
Just going back to what you were sort of saying about Hawthorn, you might beat Hawthorn with 26 inside 50s. Hawthorn, are they a top eight side? Aren't they a top eight side? But if you're going to play that style of play, when you get up against the high end teams of this competition, you're not going to win very often.
Yeah.
This is our pre-game, and it's all thanks to Beaumont Tiles. Choose Beaumont's proudly Australian. AFL Nation also brought to you thanks to McDonald's and Liquorland. A big game awaits us here at Metricon Stadium. It is 14th versus 8th on the table, but a chance for Carlton to square their season ledger, and we have seen them play some pretty good football at times through 2020, particularly since the restart. And the Dogs, well, after a horrific start to the season, last 3 weeks, super impressive. Can they continue their run? They welcome back one of their midfield stars today as well. We'll talk more about some of the key matchups, where this game is likely to be won and lost, and plenty more when our pre-game show continues here on AFL Nation right after this.
AFL Nation for McDonald's.
Try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites only cheesier.
And Liquorland, always great value.
AFL Nation, proudly brought to you thanks to McDonald's and also Liquorland. Benny Jones, Jordan Canellis and Terry Wallace with the Red Energy Expert Comments. Your call team for tonight's game between Carlton and the Western Bulldogs here at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast. Terry, I'm fascinated with how Luke Beveridge fits about 8-4. I'm talking about your centre bounce stoppage type situations in his midfield group, which is just a litany of riches, and it's even richer tonight because Lachie Hunter, who served his penance after his off-field indiscretion, comes back into the side. Where he gets squeezed in, I have absolutely no idea, but it's a good problem perhaps to have.
I was going to say it would be a very good problem, the fact that he's been a best and fairest winner at the football club. I think he'll play more wing than anywhere else, but they had Libba come back, three or four weeks ago. Now Hunter coming back into the lineup. We did the game last week where Smith got knocked out, so he is normally part of going through there as well. You've got Fit McLean goes through at times. You've got West and Wallace, who will play more forward, but have their opportunity of going through the middle of the ground as well. Lipinski's more sort of your wingman type, but they've got quite a few that they can rotate and roll through those particular areas. So it's a strength. I think the two major strengths of the Bulldogs is their outside run and the amount of guys that they can roll through the middle of the ground. And obviously Tim English, we should mention him as part of that midfield group. His support of the back line over the last few weeks has been outstanding. So he gets back, he almost plays his ruck role as the old-fashioned centre-half back. So he goes back, fills the hole, as it used to be called, and plays in front of the key power forwards for the opposition. But then he's got a great link-up ability. So once they win the ball back, and quite often it's him winning it back, but once they win the ball back, he will actually link up and be able to sort of work with the midfielders. And a little bit like Brody Grundy in the way that I've always ranked Grundy as the best of the ruckman, because I think he brings his other midfielders into the game because he can get off the chain and get overlap and linkage play. What happens is the other midfielders have to come to him, and so therefore his midfielders are getting out, so they win easier, cheaper ball because of the fact that he can win the ball like a ruck rover as such.
And it's like having an extra number, and then you're outnumbered. You haven't got a match up for that other spare player when English has the footy.
Correct. And quite often it's not the ruckman. Yeah. So the opposition ruckman, let's call it Grundy for a second. So Grundy goes through the middle of the ground, bursts, splits away. The opposition ruckman will go down the line and try to just make sure he picks him up there. But Grundy's doing the work in the middle of the ground between, say, the two arcs. And when he wins the ball, he's got to come to him. As soon as he comes to him, somebody else is out. And so I think he actually helps the overlap quite well. And I think English plays that exact same role, plays it from halfback and then works through the middle of the ground and does his best work from there.
The thing that impresses me about the Bulldogs team, there's no, if you just take the 22 that we've got for today's game, there's no one player the first out of the team.
Yeah.
Because even that bottom six are all putting in. Latham Vandermeer, you might say, is the 22nd player, but he's scored 3 goals in his couple of games that he's played this year, and he's actually he's played four games, 3 goals in 4 games, and he's turned into a very valuable link player. He's got run on half forward. Last week, as you said, we were at the North Melbourne game, the Bulldogs in North Melbourne, and I thought two of their best players last week, the Dogs, were Lipinski and Riley West.
Yep.
West has played, 5 games in his career? Lipinski's played about 30. And they were two of the standouts for me on that day. So they all have influence on the game. It's going to be really hard to figure out who to drop when eventually Dunkley comes back into the team in about a month, and then later down the track they've got a few forwards to return with Norton and Sam Lloyd. That's a different part of the ground, but they'll have to come back in as well. So trying to figure out who to pick, it's a great depth problem for the Dogs.
And Easton Wood coming back into that side last week was a real bonus as well. Like just his ability to get off his direct opponent. Yeah, we see what McGovern does with the West Coast Eagles. We see what Haynes does with GWS. And Easton Wood probably doesn't mark it as much. His is more the big power punch, just jump and use his athleticism and just blast the ball out of the danger zone and the danger area. So I thought he'd come back and just fit it in like a glove. And you expect him to. I mean, he's been a premiership captain for them, but a very, very good player.
Yeah, and Cordy and Keith are very solid down there at the moment, playing some pretty good footy as well. We won't have long to discuss it. We might pick it up on the other side of the break, but just your quick thoughts, Terry. I know you watched the game later on in the evening last night, the Dylan Sheil incident involving Curtis Taylor.
Now, we've had a few this weekend, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Ben Long was another on Big Sean Darcy. We may even get the announcement from the MRO as to what the punishment is at some stage through the course of our call tonight, but you're an initial thoughts seeing it live and then after the subsequent replays? How does it sit with you, Terry?
Yeah, well, so I suppose the ones that I've seen, so I thought the Ben Long one was marginally worse than Dylan Shiels. So I'm sort of sitting there with Ben Long's being a 2 to 3. Mm. I would be comfortable with either. If they come back at 2, I wouldn't be horrified. If it come at 3, I go, well, yeah, well, there's a bit of damage done
there. You can see why.
I can see exactly why. I thought Dylan Shiels was a 1 to 2, more sort of in that range. And then there was another one again today in the earlier match, which was Ebert on Perryman.
So, coming through as he was marking, yeah.
So that'll be looked at as well. And I think, to me, that's about the 1 week bracket. But it'll be fascinating to see how, because Perryman gets up, but some of the other boys don't.
That's it.
How much does that change things? It's always hard to read what they're going to do.
Yeah, Taylor went off, came back on, then went off again. So, yeah, it's created quite a stir on social media. But, we'll find out soon enough, and I'm sure it'll create even more stir over the next 24 hours as well. Big game coming up here from Metricon Stadium. It's Carlton and the Western Bulldogs. We can't wait to bring this one to you. Thanks to McDonald's and also Liquorland. Pre-game show for Beaumont Tolls. Choose Beaumont's proudly Australian. See you shortly.
AFL Nation, for McDonald's, try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites, only cheesier. And Liquorland, always great value.
Splashing through Edwards, to full forward, to Lambert, and the goal is a delight for the Tiger fans.
Austin Elliott, who released Trelawne. You love him here, bouncing through the 50 and kicking the goal.
Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites, only cheesier.
And Liquorland, always great value.
Welcome to AFL Nation. It is for McDonald's. Never miss a goal with McDelivery, available via the Uber Eats app and a Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Benny Jones, my name, to some of our listeners joining us for the first time. I say welcome. Looking forward to having your company as we get set for Carlton and the Western Bulldogs at Metricon Stadium to wrap up what has been, for the most part, a dour round 6. We're hoping it'll finish with a few fireworks after a big Sunday of footy, which has seen Port Adelaide back on the winners list and Richmond holding on in wet and slippery conditions at the Gabba over the Sydney Swans. Great to welcome into the call team as well, Jordan Kanellis. Good to see you, Jordo. And we've seen a little bit of these two clubs over recent weeks and certainly impressed with what we've seen out of the Dogs over the last 3 in particular.
Hello, Benny. Yes, we have. We saw their wins, Geelong and Essendon, Carlton.
Yes.
Talking of. And then last week we saw the Bulldogs against North Melbourne. I've been impressed with both teams, really. Carlton are still, obviously, they're going to be off the mark a little bit. I don't think many are expecting them to scale great heights this season. But the football they've been playing, to me, has been a little more positive. We've definitely seen some positives we can take away. They've got players that they've brought in during the off-season who have really helped bolster the squad. And they're pretty much playing with the full team as well. There might be one or two players out of that so-called best 22, but they're playing with a pretty full squad. And this year, I mark this year down as a year for results for Carlton. So they've been developing over a while. This should be the list that takes them. Maybe over the course I can add a couple of players, but this should be the list that they start getting results with rather than this being another development year. And then for the Bulldogs, they've been fun to watch. They're a fun team. Yep. They're a fun team to watch. And I think they'll be able to climb up the ladder a little bit more than, they started the round in 8th. And they've had 3 wins and 2 losses. So I'm looking forward to the Dogs. And they'll, as we've mentioned, throughout the week. They'll get back a key player in Lachie Hunter tonight.
Yeah, they will. And you're right about the Dogs. I mean, the acid was well and truly put on them after round two, Norton two, couple of thumpings. And all of a sudden, there were questions being asked of Luke Beveridge, his coaching style, whether he was up to it, where the Dogs were at. But certainly that pre-season promise has borne a little fruit over the last 3 weeks. As I welcome our Red Energy expert, Terry Wallace. And Terry, actually going back to Carlton, and we spoke with Cam Bruce a little while ago, one of the Carlton assistant coaches, and I think you made a pretty good point. Bar two quarters of football, first quarters against Richmond way back in round one, and that first term against Melbourne after the restart, I mean, it's all what ifs. They're 2-3, could quite conceivably be 4-2 or, you know, around that mark. They've played really good, enterprising football. And you know, if you're a Carlton fan, you'd have to be buoyed by what you're seeing, at least from that point of view, structure-wise, the ability to stay in contest-wise, and, showing a little flair from time to time.
Yeah, they let themselves down last Thursday night. You're on the big stage, both them and St Kilda really wanting to put in a good showing, and that was their worst performance for the season. So, I mean, in the last 7 days, they've copped a little bit of criticism, people sort of suggesting, you know, that they haven't really gone anywhere. But to me, that was off the back of that 1 week. When I pair it back, I think they've actually been okay for the year from what my expectation was. And I'm probably a little different than you, Jordan. When I do my best 22, they are still really young. And a lot younger than a lot of the other sides, in my opinion, of the guys who I think are going to take them to the next step. So Wiedering's still a young key position player. Walsh is still a really young midfielder. And they've got a lot of those across the board that I still think that they are in development mode, and it will take them a bit longer. And I keep going back to the Tigers. I mean, when I was at the Tigers, I had the likes of Edwards and Rewalt and Rance and that group of players who were all babies at that time, 21 years of age, which a lot of these Petrescu Seatons and that are around that sort of age bracket. Well, it took that group of Richmond boys another 5 or 6 years before they really got to the stage where they started to massively have impact on games and become the side that they have over the last 3 or 4 years. So to me, I think Carlton is still a work in progress.
What should the threshold be then for Carlton fans who've been waiting a long time to see a season where they win a lot and maybe put in a positive season, win-loss record, more wins or more numbers in the wins column? What should be the threshold then for Carlton fans? Should they be able to put up with honourable losses for another couple of seasons?
No, not honourable losses necessarily, but what you want to be seeing is, well, I've always sort of said when you're in a developing mode, your percentage is the main thing that supporters should be looking at. If your percentage is going up by 10-15% per year, you're tracking in the right direction and you'll eventually get there. If your percentage is just stagnating, let's say a couple of years ago when they were not playing good football, if their percentage was around 75%, if we're going into this year and they're still just hovering around 80%, well, you're not getting that degrees of development and degrees of advancement. So I would like to see Carlton every year that they go out, that their percentage goes up 10%, to be sort of showing that if it's 80, then it's 90, then it's 90, then it's 100, then you're starting to get to the stage where you're going to be a reasonably serious side. But if it's up and down and fluctuating and, 1 year it's going up by 10 and then the next year it goes down by 10, that's the worry from a supporter's point of view.
You were right, Jordan, on that performance last week in particular and why there was a little bit of blowback from Carlton fans. I think that's borne about by a lot of that impatience. They've been waiting in the wilderness a long time. Point to me one club this season so far that hasn't put in at least one stinker. It's been really hard to get that consistent form line through. So how they respond is going to be fascinating tonight. And against a very good opposition.
It's funny that you look at the ladder this season and you try and segregate the teams and categorise them, and there really isn't. There's maybe two teams, maybe three, who you can say are very good teams, and maybe two teams who are very bad teams, and everyone else is in the middle in one category.
No, I reckon that's a pretty good assessment. Boys, we've got some big news coming through from the match review from the weekend, and in particular from yesterday's games, starting with St Kilda against Fremantle. Ben Long, and we spoke about it a little while ago, Terry, where you had this one situated. I'll read this ad verbatim off the email that's been sent through from the AFL Match Review. Ben Long of St Kilda has been charged with engaging in rough conduct against Sean Darcy during the second quarter of yesterday's match between Fremantle and St Kilda. In summary, he has been referred directly to the tribunal and cannot accept an early plea. So that's lending more to your 3-4 weeks. And correct. I wouldn't think above that. But, yeah, he's heading straight to the tribunal. Based on the evidence, the incident was assessed as careless, severe impact and high contact. So that is why it is going straight to the tribunal. There was another incident in that with Rowan Marshall, a striking incident with Nathan Wilson. He's taken, or he can take, a $1,000 sanction with an early plea. Brad Crouch, likewise, with a misconduct charge against Nick Natanui. It's a $500 sanction with an early plea. Now, the big one, and this has some Brownlow medal connotations to it. Dylan Scheel has been charged with engaging in rough conduct against Curtis Taylor during the third quarter of last night's game between Essendon and North Melbourne. In summary, he can accept a 2-match sanction with an early plea. Based on the available evidence, the incident was assessed as careless conduct, high impact and high contact. The incident was classified as a 2-match sanction. Well, your initial response, Derek?
Well, I thought he had to go out, and my initial response prior was 1-2. So I'm more than comfortable with a 2-week sanction. Whether they challenge that and try to, you know, have a look at it, who knows? But I don't, you know, you, when the action is like that, you go past the ball.
Yep.
It's very, very difficult to be able to, you know, come up with any sort of reason why that was fair and reasonable in the circumstance. The long one, I'm not surprised either that it's gone straight to tribunal. To me, that means they want to make a statement on it, yep. So it'll be a 3 or 4. As you said, Benny, I don't think it'll be any more than that. But 3 to 4 is, particularly in a shortened season.
Yeah, it's a significant. Chunk. Yeah, it's a quarter of your home and away campaign out the door. What did you make of that, Jordan?
Yeah, the key aspects to those were, for my opinion anyway, was the fact that they, as you said, Terry, was they ran past the footy, and initially the Ben Long one, there was the broadcast angle when you watched it. You went, oh, that's just well. It's a bump, it's a hard bump, and Darcy's gone down pretty hard. Was it all that serious? And then you get the reverse angle and you see Ben Long turn and look at Darcy and then run straight into him. He wasn't even looking at the ball.
Yeah.
So that's where the severity of it comes in, and I sort of agree with that. 4 is pretty strict. Yeah.
I think it's too much 4.
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah, David King went pretty strong on the 4 weeks last night. My thing in a shortened season, you know, that gets heightened again. So a 4 week in a normal, well, let's say in a normal season, that if you got 4 weeks, that would be like a 6-week suspension in a normal season. Well, to me, that's a little bit too much for it. So if it comes back at 3 weeks, I'll be comfortable.
Yeah, same. If they pull the trigger on 4, I'll probably raise my eyebrows a bit. But 3, yeah, it's comfortable for me.
It's our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont Tiles choose Beaumonts because they are proudly Australian, repeating the news from around the grounds for the Chemist Warehouse. Big brands and great savings every day. Earlier this afternoon, Port Adelaide by 17 points over GWS, and Richmond hung on by 8 against Sydney in wet and slippery conditions in Brisbane. It is time, though, boys, for us to get ourselves a points bet update. Let's do that right now with our man, Elliot Forbes.
An odds update, proudly brought to you by PointsBet's AFL Early Payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
G'day punters, Elliot from PointsBet here. Looking ahead to the last game of the round, the Blues versus the Dogs. The Dogs, they are favourites here. They're $1.52 with us at PointsBet. The Blues outsiders at $2.50. And if you're looking to have a bet on the line here, you're getting a 10.5 point start if you're keen to back the Blues. Run of 3 wins for the Dogs did see them climb into the top 8, and they'll definitely fancy their chances of making it 4 in a row, taking on the Blues this afternoon. And another slow start did cost the Blues last week, who have now trailed by 20-plus points at quarter time in 3 occasions so far this season, which does take us into the first goal scorer market. It's very popular with the punters at PointsBet. Josh Bruce on your first line of betting at $9. Josh Shackey at 10, Levi Casbolt at 12, and Harry McKay at 14. Eddie Betts, $18, is some value as well. And the elite odds, it is available every single game with us this round at PointsBet. It has been popular. This one is a cracker to finish off the weekend. Josh Bruce and Eddie Betts to both kick a goal. You're going to get $2.50 with us today at PointsBet. So Josh Bruce and Eddie Betts to both kick a goal, $2.50 elite odds today at PointsBet. And the early payout, well, that is back next week as well. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night games, If your team leads at halftime, you win. We'll pay your head-to-head bet out as a winner then and there. Easy as that to get paid early at PointsBet. T's and C's apply, so jump on to pointsbet.com.au, download the app, and as always, please gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Elliot. Great work as always. Proudly brought to you by PointsBet AFL Early Payout. Lead at halftime and you win. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Benny Jones, Jordan Canellis, Terry Wallace here with you. Metricon Stadium is the venue and Carlton getting set to take on the Western Bulldogs. Speaking of the Blue Baggers, Terry, I know that David Teague was quizzed through the week about Mitch McGovern off the back of a poor performance from him against the Saints. Only the 6 disposals, no impact really in that forward 50. And whether they might consider for his confidence alone, but getting him behind the football, throwing him into the back 6 at times, something he's done when he was previously at the Adelaide Crows. I pose you the question, if you're in the boots of David Teague, what's your... all things considered and all things going reasonably well, your best or your preferred front 6 for the Carlton Footy Club?
Okay, well, are we saying that Curnow is available?
Yeah, let's go. Absolutely, everything's on the table and all fit and available.
Well, personally, I've always preferred to have two tools and two tall structure. There are some sides of the competition, you know, Justin Westhoff plays sometimes forward, sometimes other roles within the structure, Marshall and Dixon. Dixon are there. West Coast always play with three, you know, Oscar Allen down that end, maybe Waterman. Sometimes they play four. Mm. So I'm not suggesting that you can't play with McGovern as the third one of them, but clearly where Carlton are going, it is, for me, it's Curnow and McKay. So they're the two. There is potential for one spot for Casbolt / McGovern, but there is not room for both. And in my line of thinking, I wouldn't be going with either. I'd be going with a smaller, more aggressive group of players around them. I like the Martin Betts aspect of it. You mentioned before, Jordan, just that they've brought in some real class, and just their ability to kick inside 50, their ability to finish has added something to the club that they haven't really got. So I'm looking for a couple of other smaller players. Obviously, the one that they wanted was Papley.
Yes.
And I mean, how good would have he been if he had been able to get to that football club? Would have been absolutely perfect. But to me, that's more what they're looking for. But there's not room for McGovern and Casbolt in their best lineup if there's room for either.
All right. Well, we might see how that formulates a few of our Coates Hire matchups for later on this evening as well. Pre-game show for Beaumont's. Pop into Beaumont Tiles. They are open with 30% off Aussie-made tiles. We're not far away from the opening bounce, gentlemen, so we'll get to our last break. When we come back, we will drill down into this one. Carlton and the Western Bulldogs to wrap up round 6 right here, Sunday night footy on AFL Nation.
AFL Nation for McDonald's.
Try Macca's new cheesy range. Your favourites only cheesier.
And Liquorland. Always great value.